So West Red Lake Gold Mines, we are in the process of putting a high-grade gold mine in Ontario, like smack in the middle of Canada, into production. And we're going to do that. We're going to ramp up the amount of gold that's coming out of that mine all through the second half of this year. We are actually on the cusp of producing our very first gold in the next few weeks because the very first part of the stuff that we mine, we've pulled out of the ground already.
Gwen Preston, West Red Lake Gold, what is going on?
So much is going on. That's the only answer I can give. Well, maybe I'll backstop that answer with a little bit more information.
I would love that. Hold on, I'm interrupting you. I'm smiling ear to ear. I'm going to just talk to my viewers and readers. You're going to get a ton of views on this. Gwen and I and Steve and I had met at PDAC, and it was pretty fantastic. And I'm just going to tee this up for you there. Go ahead. What is going on?
Yeah, so West Red Lake Gold Mines, we are in the process of putting a high-grade gold mine in Ontario, like smack in the middle of Canada, into production. And we're going to do that. We're going to ramp up the amount of gold that's coming out of that mine all through the second half of this year. We are actually on the cusp of producing our very first gold in the next few weeks because the very first part of the stuff that we mine, we've pulled out of the ground already. We're calling that a bulk sample. That's our practice before we go full bore. And it's our ability to make sure that all of our mining methods and whatnot are working the way they need to. And so we do have that bulk sample sitting on surface. We're getting ready to process that. We're getting ready to the extent that we just turned the mill back on, which is really exciting. Major piece of infrastructure turned back on nice and smoothly, which was really good, like validation for us. We have been that all of the work that we have been doing for the last 22 months is pointing us in the right direction. And the right direction is to enable us to unlock the value in this high-grade gold deposit that we have in Ontario. We bought this thing because a prior operator had stumbled, had made some mistakes when they put it back into operation a couple of years ago. Their stumbles, terrible for their shareholders, for sure. But we're our opportunity because we were able to buy this asset that people hated, and when gold was still not worth very much, but had a whole bunch of gold, high-grade gold, had a mill built, had lots of underground infrastructure developed, we were able to carry. We are in the process of carrying this asset from purchase to production in only 2 years, which is an unusual thing to be able to accomplish in the gold mining
I'm going
space.
to interrupt you and I'm going to clap my hands. Just so you know, I'm clapping my hands so all my viewers that can see me and all my listeners. Just so you know, I didn't disclose this to I am an investor. I am an investor. So I'm very happy investor just to see with the progression. And Gwen, I would tell you guys to take a bow, but we're a little early. We're a little early for that. But yes, tell me where we're at now. And you said you have a bulk sample coming out. Explain what that means. And yeah, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so the bulk sample is a really good starting point for a couple reasons. One, it's literally what is happening right now. We just turned the mill on to process the bulk sample. We are mining the bulk sample. It is what's going on. It's also really important because I said that there was this prior operator who bought this mine that had operated in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. They bought it. They did a whole bunch of really good work. They defined this deposit. They permitted it. They built a new mill. They engineered it. They put it back into production. They did a lot of good work, but they certainly cut some corners, especially in sort of the second half of that series of steps. And those corners, unfortunately, were important ones. And so the operation was only in commercial production for like 14 months, and then it went under. And so the reason that the bulk sample is so important for West Red Lake Gold is because we are standing here saying we are going to take this asset that the last company was unable to have success with, and we are going to deliver success on this asset to our investors and to the market. And the bulk sample is our first opportunity to show that our approach to the mine and the way our approach to understanding the deposit, how to mine it, and how to process it, that it works, that we're going to be able to do this. And so to summarize, the key issue with that prior operator, they really just didn't understand the deposit well enough. They didn't embrace the challenge of mining in this place, which is Red Lake, Ontario. 30 million ounces of gold have been pulled from the ground in Red Lake over the last 100 years. This place has produced a lot of gold from very similar mineralization, from high-grade deposits. The thing is, you kind of have to pay to play in Red Lake. You have to do a lot of drilling to know where the zone is really accurately. If you do that work, you make that deposit, then you'll mine in the right place and you'll get the benefits of operating in Red Lake. And the benefits of operating in Red Lake showed up in things like some drill results that we put out the other week, where our drilling is getting us to the zone. And by drilling into that zone, we were able to put out some very, very good drill results, like 114 grams per ton gold over 10 meters, including a 16 gram per ton gold hit in the middle of that. That's super high grade stuff, very mineable, fantastic widths. And it's because we've done the work. We're paying to play in Red Lake. That's what the prior operator didn't do. That's what we have been doing. We've done 60,000 meters of drilling into this known deposit since we got here 20 months ago. And that is pointing us exactly to where we need to mine. And this bulk sample is our opportunity to show that that works. So we're mining six stopes. Those are just the areas where you mine underground. Six stopes. And we have independent people watching who are going to validate that we say our mine plan said that this stope had 3,612 tons grading 6.4 grams per ton gold. And then here's what we actually got out of that stope. And if we can show that we can do it, that validates the entire thesis behind West Red Lake Gold, which is really important because as a show me story, investors haven't really re-rated our stock as a producer. But if we demonstrate that we can do this, that's the investment opportunity that's at hand.
Got it. So I want to ask a few questions and my mind is going bonkers. And Gwen, you saw me laughing. I was not laughing at you. I was just laughing at this is a crazy story if it plays out well. And again, full disclosure, everybody, I'm an investor. So I'm talking to all my listeners and viewers here, Gwen, but I want you to answer this question. So the Lassonde curve is like, think of a curve like this. And explorers down here, you want to buy in the Lassonde curve really early here, and then they hit, and then you make a ton of money, and then you sell, and then it gets taken over, or they'll take it to a mine, or whatever. Or you want to buy up here, because that's when you're going into production, and that's when you start printing cash, basically. West Red Lake Gold is right here, so you're right at the top of the Lassonde curve. Did I get that correct, Gwen?
Yeah, basically. I mean, the Lassonde curve is this cool thing that captures how there's really two times, like you said, two ways that investors can make money by investing in the mining space. One time that major value is created is when a new discovery is made. So if you buy in a company that has a great target and they successfully drill into a new gold discovery, silver, copper, uranium, whatever it is, that's when new value is created. So that's when, you know, the share price, the market capitalization of that stock can really rise. As it turns out, after you've delineated that deposit, then there's this really long period of drudgery and boredom and a lot of cost and a lot of time, which is called trying to build a mine. And share prices really decline in that time because investors are bored and there's still a long duration before you're going to start making money. And so share prices come right off again. The second ascent, the second opportunity of the Lassonde curve, the second time that investors can make money in mining is by riding what is the common phenomenon of a re-rate. So a company that's been going through that drudgery, that's been permitting and engineering and raising money and building and doing all the work, gets to the point where they're actually building a mine, and then they go, assuming success on that, which usually mines get built once they've gotten to that let's go point, they go from building a mine to producing metal. And then guess what? They have revenue. That's a thing. And that is a tangible reason for a company to re-rate, right? Go from spending to making money. That's the second rise of the Lassonde curve. And so West Red Lake, the entire premise of this company, the reason that this company came to be, is to try and give investors exposure to that. We want to put assets into production and give exposures give investors exposure to that second re-rate. We are a team of people who know how to build mines, which is not a super common skill set in the mining space because it's such a cyclical space and people come and go. So we're a team of people who can do that. And so we took this asset that everyone hated and we're applying that skill set so that investors can get exposure to that re-rate. And in today's market, that's a pretty unusual opportunity. If we look at companies that have one project, one asset that they're focused on, and that are putting that one asset into production as a new gold mine in 2025, there are four companies doing that. One of them is already in production, reached that in January, and has already done that re-rate. That's a company called Artemis. ARTG is their ticker, and their share price chart is just a thing of beauty, for sure. And then there's only three more. One of them is West Red Lake Gold Mines, and the other one, the two others are Erdene, which is building a mine in Mongolia, and Robex, which is building a mine in Guinea. And so for investors who, in this amazing gold market, want exposure to not just the price of gold, but maybe to that additional leverage from that developer to producer transition, there's hardly any companies on that dance card in West Red Lake, especially when you account for being in a tier one jurisdiction, you know, certainly shines.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, thank you. And you explained it much better than I did, but how you guys made this work specifically with your drilling. You explained this to me at PDAC and I'd love for you to explain that again.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is a really important component and I don't want to get too technical. So I'm going to try and explain it without being too technical, but bear with me a little bit. So like I say, we know there are proven ways to mine the high grade deposits of Red Lake, but you have to do enough drilling to really know where the zone is. The prior operator didn't embrace that challenge. And so they drilled out the deposit enough to define 1.7 million indicated ounces. So that's like not the lowest level of confidence. That's the medium level of confidence. So 1.7 million indicated ounces at 7.5 grams gold. Great deposit. And then essentially they stopped drilling and they went ahead and engineered a mine and started to mine that entire resource envelope. So the whole chunk of rock in which it was inferred, assumed that those 1.7 million ounces exist. The problem is that that meant that they were mining a deposit where the drill holes were about 20 meters apart on average, all through that 1.7 million ounces, the rocks that contained that 1.7 million ounces. The rule of thumb in Red Lake for those 30 million ounces that were mined historically is that your drill holes need to be like 7 meters apart. So you need to Swiss cheese this thing to figure out where the zone is. And you do, some people think of that as a burden. Some investors are like, oh my gosh, that's so much drilling. It's a lot of drilling. It's not that unusual. If you look at silver mines in Mexico, that is exactly how silver mines in Mexico are done. They're always definition drilling. They're always hammering the known resource with additional holes ahead of mining to make sure that they mine in the right spot. And that's what you have to do in Red Lake. And so the prior operator didn't do that. And by just following their whole resource envelope, they mined a lot of unmineralized rock and they just basically weren't really mining in exactly the right place. So our fundamental premise is to just go in and refine that deposit. So we've gone in, there's like 21 kilometers of underground workings in this deposit. This is not drilling from surface. We're in the deposit and we're just, think of like going to the end of a tunnel and then doing a fan of holes this way, and then this way, and then this way, and then this way. So you just hammer the deposit with holes. And by doing so, you get a very high resolution, accurate picture of where the zone is. And if you think about like when I was talking about like the benefits of doing that work in Red Lake, I mean, there's globs of gold in the rocks in Red Lake. It's not an overstatement to say that. And, you know, a drill hole may hit that glob of gold. It may just miss that glob of gold. But if you're in the zone, if you accurately define where the zone is and then you mine that zone, you'll get it when you mine it. So it's about doing the work so that you mine the right rocks. And if you mine the right rocks, then you get to benefit from being in this place where these pulses of fluid over the years have really put a lot of gold into the rocks. So that's the fundamental premise. We've gone in, we've done 60,000 meters of definition drilling. That meant that we drove new tunnels so that we could get to new places, so we could do those fans of drilling and into areas that hadn't had enough drilling before. And that 60,000 meters means that the first year and a half to 2 years of rock that we will pull out of the ground, we know we've done that work. We've done the drilling into that rock. And this process will just always continue. Our mine plan always has a drill turning underground, doing that work ahead so that we mine the right ground. So that's the real fundamental premise, is mining the right, knowing where the zone is and mining exactly that zone. The other side of our difference in approach is making sure that we run an efficient operation. Because in mining, you got to mine the right rocks, and then you have to move them efficiently, because moving rocks is expensive. And so there were, in that cost-cutting approach that the prior operator took, that's really why they didn't do the definition drilling. They were just trying to do everything on a really squeezed budget. That cost-cutting approach also meant that they didn't do some projects that would have made the operation more efficient. And that's been the other part of our approach at the Madsen Mine, is just doing those projects. So we're setting ourselves up to be able to move, to mine the right rock and move it efficiently. So that's really our take on how we can make Madsen work.
Got it. I have some more questions, but Steve, I want to give you the opportunity to jump in. Yeah, Gwen, you mentioned the bulk sample. What's the timeline on that again? And then could you walk us through Q1, 2, 3, and 4? Just kind of what's the plan?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're getting to the end of Q1 already. It seems time flies when you're having fun. So Q1 was about finishing, you know, getting through mining this bulk sample. So if you think of the bulk sample, each stope is like the spot within a resource where you're going to go and mine it. And so there's 6 stopes that are part of our bulk sample. The bulk sample is really just the first 10,000, 12,000 tons of the material that we will mine at Madsen, but we're doing it in a very careful, slow way so that our crews can ramp up safely, accurately, got to mine the right rocks, and then increasingly efficiently. You can't go from zero to hero overnight, so we're giving our crews the opportunity to ramp up that pace by doing this bulk sample process carefully. And then, of course, we need to do this reconciliation. We need to have these third-party people say, okay, their model said that they were going to have this many tons at this grade, this many tons at this grade, this many tons at this grade. They mined those sections and they got this, this, and this. Really important process for our comfort that our approach is working, and of course for the investing market's comfort that our approach is working. That's a bulk sample. We're a lot of the way through mining that right now. We should be pretty much done mining it by the end of this quarter. We did just turn on the mill, which is very exciting. And we're currently sort of what's called packing it out. We're putting legacy low-grade material through. You just literally pack it out with old material. And then we will start putting each of those 6 stopes through the mill so that we can generate those results. After that, or alongside that, a couple of these capital projects that I talk about that are about making sure the operation is efficient, we're wrapping those up. There's a really important 1.3 kilometer long tunnel that we're finishing that connects the two sides of the mine, again, for efficiency in moving mined material. There's a camp that we're very, very close to welcoming workers into. There's a new mine dry. There's quite a few capital projects that are wrapping up. So those are all happening. And then in the second quarter, we will ensure that we have enough stockpile on surface, that we have a fallback plan if needed. That's always part of having an underground mining operation. And we'll continue to maintain that pace of underground development. And later in the second quarter, we will just start feeding mineralization into the mill. And we'll start at a lower pace than our target. Our target is 800 tons per day. We might start at 400 tons per day. And then we will just increase the number of tons going through the mill each day as we can, so that sometime near the end of the third quarter, we're getting towards that 800 tons per day. And that's the goal. So that by, you know, through the second half of the year, we ramp this thing up so that it is the mine that we laid out in the study, the mine plan study that we put out at the beginning of the year. And that, you know, that study has some nice numbers in it. I'm sure we'll get to that in a moment. But we're going to ramp up from the middle of the year to the end of the year to become that new gold producing mine. And we have the funds on hand to do that. So we arranged a debt facility at the beginning of the year, and we did an additional capital raise a couple weeks ago. And those funds, plus the fact that we are going to produce gold from the bulk sample in the coming weeks, and then through the second half of the year increasingly, and we're going to sell that gold into a phenomenal gold market. I mean, as we're chatting today, the gold price is very, very close to all-time highs. So we're also going to sell gold into that market. So we have the money. We're right on the cusp of consistent gold production, and it's really exciting.
Yeah. Steve, you got any more, or can I jump in?
I do want to ask real quick. You mentioned you're right on the cusp, and we're talking about doing stuff that the previous guys had an asset that they hated. You're also looking at an opportunity. So does that come with risk? How much risk is involved in it? You mentioned like what you're doing differently. And how do you, what kind of opportunity are you seeing here? And you also talked about the West Red Lake, the people who are around you. I mean, what's the opportunity here?
Yeah, you stole my questions. You stole my questions, Steve.
Great minds. Great. Okay. So the near-term opportunity here, I'm going to divide this into near-term and like medium-term or longer-term. The near-term opportunity here is that that Lassonde curve that we talked about earlier. Historically, if you look back at the patterns, that re-rate goes from when a company decides to build a mine, construction decision, through to pouring first gold. That's when that re-rate happens. The market builds in, anticipates cash flows coming, and they start to re-rate the stock higher. That is not what's happened with West Red Lake Gold, because this is a show me story. There's a few, you know, there's not, people want to see us successfully delivering on our approach. And then the market will say, okay, you unlocked the value in this mine. When the prior operator came and built this mine, the market got incredibly excited about a new high-grade mine in this famed jurisdiction of Red Lake, Ontario, to the point that the market cap of that prior operator got above $1 billion Canadian. So there was a huge amount of excitement that got built in ahead of time last time. We, because of the nature of the history of this asset, we're going to have to put it, we're going to have to produce the gold and do it consistently and do it within the costs that we say. And then I certainly expect that the market will say, hey, you did it. That thing that we were so excited about before, you actually did it. And then we should earn that kind of opportunity. So if you look at what that number might be, okay, so is a gold miner supposed to be worth 0.8 to 1 times the value of their asset? That's a reasonable estimate based on, you know, historic numbers. If you look at our mine plan, which had lots of conservatism built into it on lots of different levels, but if you look at our mine plan and use a $2,600 long-term gold price just in the financial model, you get an NPV, a net present value for our mine, of just shy of $500 million Canadian. West Red Lake Gold is trading at $200 million Canadian today. So I think that that is the, that's the potential for where this market cap could go as we successfully deliver the value that is the Madsen mine. So that's sort of the laydown. That's the near-term laydown. On top of that, I mean, you started to reference where we are and sort of the bigger picture context here. There's a couple sides to that. I mean, this team didn't start West Red Lake Gold to only operate the Madsen mine. This is a team of mine builders, mine fixers, and people who really believe in the opportunity to take this skill set and unlock value. So we're already looking for what's next. How do we grow West Red Lake from here? We would love to become a mid-tier gold producer in the next 3 to 5 years. So that takes some frog kissing. You got to kiss a lot of frogs before you meet your friends, right? Like it takes time and patience and a lot of due diligence and a lot of conversations. But we're certainly looking at how that might happen. And that's also big picture wise. This is happening in the context of a gold market where there's, I mean, the producers out there are just overflowing with money. Sounds like a silly thing to say, but like my president, CEO Shane, he was just down at the BMO mining conference 2 weeks ago. And his real takeaway from that conference was how much money the producers have, whether it's the mega majors all the way down to the single asset guys. They have tons of money because they haven't been doing acquisitions. And at some point that will start. And is a company that has a successful single asset new gold mine in a storied district with expansion potential, because there's lots of targets on our land package that deserve a lot of attention. We can talk about exploration potential in addition. Would we potentially be a target there? I think so. So there's lots of reason to believe that that developer to producer re-rate is not the only potential for the West Red Lake investor.
Steve, go ahead, Andy.
Anything else? I don't.
Well, you can go, but I was at PDAC and West Red Lake Gold was one of my favorite stories.
It was your favorite.
If you can talk a little bit about the capital you guys have and just to, what you have to get through this project. I mean, I thought
it
was attractive, or the lack of, the amount of confidence that the project had was, I'm enthused. So if you can talk a little bit about just what you have on hand and your ability, not only funds, but you mentioned your team to get to see this through the finish line, because I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think quite a few things, strings there that I want to pull on. So I think the team is a really important place to start. So the president and CEO, I mentioned his name is Shane Williams, really experienced mine builder. He worked for Eldorado. He helped build their mine in Greece and Turkey, and then he led the build of their mine in Quebec. So he's a mine builder. And he has pulled together a team of people who have a lot of experience building mines. And really important in that is a focus on technical soundness and operational readiness. Again, this feels a little bit like getting into the weeds, but as I was saying, the entire investment thesis here is that we can unlock the value that got buried when that prior operator went belly up. And to unlock that requires a technical approach to this project. It requires a really sound basis in geology, and then it requires an engineering geology feedback loop that is really tight. And I think like Shane and a couple of us were really excited a couple months ago when the engineering side really truly said, okay, we trust the geology. And that sounds simple, but oh my gosh, it is everything. It is absolutely everything. And that doesn't just happen. That is created. That is created by leaning into the supporting the geology, supporting the engineers, and making sure that there's a teamwork build up on site so that they can work together, because you got to identify the rocks and then you got to mine them accurately and you got to work together to get there so that you can do the drilling, so that you can do the mining. It's really important. And so watching Shane and the others lead that team, foster that feedback loop and support this technical approach to this project, it's been phenomenal to watch. Then on the operational readiness side, I mean, I talk about the efficiency in moving rock. I mean, efficiency is everything. We don't mine rock for the sake of moving rock. We mine rock to make money, right? And so we have to, that requires not just having the parts on hand to make sure your trucks are operating, but making sure you have a very deep and complex maintenance schedule, logistics, procurement, warehousing, HR system, right? Like that's just one tiny example. There are so many examples across the mine where that plays out. That's what operational readiness is. Are you truly ready to operate the complicated machine that is a gold mine? And so the nature of this project is that we got on the ground, we immediately went underground, started blasting tunnels so that we could access areas so we could do that drilling. That's what we needed to do. The benefit of that is that we've been underground operating at this mine for 20 months already, which is really cool because it means that we know exactly how much it costs to blast and move a ton of rock. We know our costs for fuel and for steel and for labor. We've been developing a safety culture. We've been developing all of these systems that you need to make sure that we can operate. We're not starting from zero. We've been doing it for a year and a half already. It's phenomenal. So that side of things, mines have risk. Of course, we see mines fail. Mines have risk. But I believe that the way that we had to approach this asset, and then the team led by Shane and how that approach has been done, really has created the potential for this to be very smooth. Mines are complicated. There's going to be a stumble here and a trip there, and there's going to be a week that something goes wrong here. That's because mines are super complicated. But if you truly have teamwork and technical sound, technical foundation and then actual operational readiness, then you have the potential to do that. So that's like the teamwork side of things. And then on the financing side of things, I mean, we have accessed a lot of capital in the market. And so you can see that our share price has been pretty sideways while we've been at the Madsen mine. And there's a couple reasons for that. I mean, I think people are in the wait and see. They're waiting for the show me moment, and that's fine. Thankfully, there is enough excitement about this asset that we've been able to raise the money that we've needed to put in and get the work done so that we can show them, so that we can unlock the asset. The exciting thing now is that we're at this finish line. We're on the cusp of producing gold. We do not expect to have to raise more money in the market for the Madsen asset. And so the things that held the story back on the market side, in terms of the value side, it feels like we are through those. We're on the cusp of producing gold. We're about to do the bulk sample and show that our approach works. We have the money on hand to get it done. You know, like, we're there. And there's this amazing gold market that's happening at the same time, which was part of the reason to buy the asset when it was bought. It was forward-looking, expecting a stronger gold market. So it is all coming together. Everybody wants more sooner. And we've been trying as hard as we can to deliver that. I think I started near the beginning by saying that we're going to go from purchase. We closed the purchase of this Madsen mine in June of 2023. And in June of 2025, we expect to be putting consistent mineralized material through the mill. A 2-year run from purchase to production is almost unheard of in the gold mining space. We've been pushing so hard. And I know there's investors out there who wanted us to do it in 6 months, but we wouldn't have been able to do it sustainably and successfully in 6 months. And so we're working really hard, and we're so excited. It was turning the mill on the other day was just like an incredibly exciting time for everybody at the mine site. And it turned on smoothly again, because the mill team had done the work to make sure that it was ready. So it was a really validating moment as well from that angle. So yeah, I'm as excited as you guys are.
I think you're more. Gwen, one of this is anecdotal, but I'll say this. This is what I've learned probably in the last 12 months in doing this, is you can't mine. If you mine too quick, it's as bad as you're going to fail, because you're not unlocking the potential of the asset at the very least. If not, you're going to just stumbling blocks. That's even putting it lightly. They just happen. Mm-hmm. So I think really it's a testament to your team. You brought that up. I don't know Shane, but I met him. I met him at Rick's conference last year, and I met you there. And again, this is anecdotal, but what really impressed me, there was Shingin out there grinding away, talking. And I say that because I'm an investor, just grinding away and talking to me, just, and you were doing the same, just explaining what you got and how you're going to accomplish it. So give that feedback to Shane. That just meant a lot to me, and keep on doing that. So anyways, that's all I have. Steve, did you have anything to end with?
First of all, Gwen had me to hello. That's the Swiss cheese sign language.
Gwen, if you can tell us about how we find you, how do we invest?
Where are you listed?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. That is a good thing to end on. So we're listed in Toronto on the Venture Exchange. Our ticker there is WRLG. We're listed on the OTCQB as WRLGF. And we are listed on the Frankfurt Exchange. Frankfurt exchanges are complicated, but one of the tickers there is UJ0. And certainly westredlakegoldmines.com. That's the website. You can find me there. You can, there's multiple ways of getting in touch, and I love hearing from interested parties, investors. I'm happy to chat with anyone who has questions.
Excellent. I will put all of that in the show notes below. This will go out on the YouTube channel as well as Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Gwen, absolute pleasure. We look forward, Steve and I both look forward to seeing you here in Atlanta and chatting with you and all the investors or potential investors here in Atlanta.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, guys. This was fun.
It was a good time. Thank you.